Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. We like to call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. Thank you for listening and downloading and subscribing to our latest podcast. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Joining me are the homies, BZ430. BZ, what up, though?
What up, though? What's up, Kyle?
Chilling, man. Chilling. What's cracking?
Chilling, man. Just finishing up this last two rounds of my first of three NFL fantasy football drafts.
How's it looking?
I don't know. I'm not really too hype on this squad. I don't know. But it's funny. Sometimes it's the teams I'm not hype on, I end up doing pretty okay.
Who you got?
Huh?
What's your roster look like? Who you got?
Okay. So I got Brady, Le'Veon Bell, Reddick, Jarvis Landry, Emmanuel Sanders, Rob Gronkowski. So I'm gonna hit him with that Brady Gronkowski combo. Tevin Coleman. Wait a minute. Is that his name? Tevin first. That's his first name for ATL.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tevin Coleman. My bench. I got Matt Forte, Jeremy Maclin. I got Matthew Stafford, backup QB. He can probably be used as a trade bait, depending on how other teams looking. I got my backup tight end is dude from Tampa Bay.
Oh, the rookie? Howard?
No, Brate.
Okay.
Sterling Shepard. Yeah, Sterling Shepard and DeAndre Washington. And I still got to pick a kicker, a defense, and another bench person, and I'm done.
Who's your other running back?
Bell and who else? My running backs is Le'Veon Bell, Riddick from the Lions, and Coleman.
Oh, okay.
I'm not too high on the squad. I mean, people in the chat saying, like, yeah, your squad looks straight, but I'm like, not too hype on it.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't be too hype.
I'm not too hype on the squad,
but,
man.
But, Bell is going to be a beast. We already know what Riddick does, catching passes, and it's only a matter of time before Amir goes down.
I think Riddick going to get a lot of those 40 rushing yards and 40 reception yards. Like, he's going to get one. Mm-hmm. He's going to be like those type of dudes.
Because it sounds like you took Gronk in the second, right?
Yeah. So when I took Gronk, I was like, I'm about to get Brady. I'm about to hit him with the Brady. Because Brady was the rank one QB. So I'm like, I'm going to hit him with Brady and Gronkowski combo.
So you went Bell. Let me see if I – you went Bell, Gronk, Brady.
Riddick and then Riddick and then I came back with two picks and I had a pick Landry and Emmanuel because at that point I didn't have no receivers.
Okay.
Then I got my flex with Coleman, and then it was literally a crapshoot. Once I got my flex, it was like rolling the dice, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also joining us, the other voice that you hear is my man Ken. Ken, what's going on, man?
Man, I got a full belly. I actually had to. So for those of you that don't know, I have a 9-year-old, and we were having shrimp and grits tonight, which is one of my favorite. But my son loved grits, so he didn't want to eat his pizza, and he wanted to eat some shrimp. So it wasn't a lot of shrimp left. So I had to make breakfast in order to put some food in my belly. So I'm full, man. I got that like eggs. I had hash browns. And some grit, so yeah, I'm feeling good. So if I sound sluggish and incoherent, right.
So we're gonna cut this podcast short. You're gonna be sleeping in about 30 minutes. The itis will set in.
Right, that's no monster you hear. That's no tornado. That's me snoring.
I know that's right. And hopefully people will be joining us, but we want to thank you all for tuning in and listening as you do each and every week. Make sure that you pass the word. Like I said, we call this the place where sports opinions collide. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. Let's take it to the NBA, man. In the great words of my man, Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. The Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade has hit a snag. Now, we talked about it last week, you know, the big blockbuster deal that would send Kyrie Irving to Boston and send Isaiah Thomas to Cleveland has hit a snag because there are some concerns right now about Isaiah Thomas's hip. The Cavs now are wanting more for this trade. And if I'm not mistaken, at the time of this recording, we're recording this Tuesday night. I think they have until Thursday to complete this trade. So they got like another day or so to complete this trade. If not, the trade becomes voided. So B, I'll start with you. Do you think this trade is in serious jeopardy of not happening? And what should the Cavs ask for since it's been rumored that they want more? What do you think they should ask for?
Yeah, I think, what I've been seeing, they for Cavs to, make this trade, I guess, desirable for them with the physicality of Isaiah Thomas, they looking at either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, and I doubt that Celtics would give that up. They would be stupid if they do, if they give up one of their, future young guys, if they add him on, and if they don't ask for nothing, if Cleveland's still giving up just Kyrie, and then you asking for a young, another young guy, a up-and-coming talent, and Tatum and or Jaylen Brown. And we saw what Jaylen Brown did this past postseason, man. He actually kind of, proved his worth. So, if I'm Celtics, if the Cavs do ask for, if they do want another one of our young guys, I would ask for something. I would get maybe, ask for two pieces. I don't know what two pieces that would be, but I would ask for something, but that would be crazy. And it's interesting with this whole Isaiah Thomas hip injury thing. And it's like, it makes me think that it was that the reason why Celtics was quick to kind of pull that trigger saying, oh, you giving us Kyrie? Cool. Hey, Isaiah, you beast. You know what I'm saying? So it just kind of, and they had concerns. Remember, it was like little, he say, she say going on talks about that during the playoffs. Remember?
Right.
Got hurt. So, I don't know if it's something, a little more serious than that Boston know that they trying to keep under wraps. But if that's the case, then Boston, you're gonna have to chalk up another one of them young guns then if you giving Cleveland a banged up someone that probably won't be the same Isaiah Thomas based off a hip injury.
All right, B, you're Boston, right? I'm Cleveland. Now, we done made this deal. You already know that Isaiah Thomas don't want to come back. You already know that hip is messed up and you don't want to take that bat. So not only will you get a jacked up hip, you're going to also get a player that don't want to be there along with Jay Crowder.
And so then, chalk up that L, throw in Jaylen Brown and ask for Cleveland for someone else besides just Kyrie. Like,
right.
Throw in Amaz Shepherd and who else?
So you want me to give Shump away. So you want Shump. Just kept sweetening the pot.
Yeah, I'm giving you my defensive guy Crowder, so I want a defensive guy as well. And
you'll give me Brown too? So do I get Brown? You give me Jaylen Brown?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, who else is on the Cleveland roster? I'm trying to think.
Nobody.
Shumpert don't want to be here either. He's
right, that's why I said Shumpert. That's why I like Shumpert. He plays defense. He's a good wing guy that plays defense. Who else do they have? Oh, man.
Because if I say to you, under those circumstances, that scenario, which is the scenario.
I don't want no pick from you because you're going to end up being like the top team in the East. So I want players. Shepherd, I'm going to look at their roster right quick.
I'm not doing this trade unless you give me Brown. And if you want Shumpert, you can have Shumpert. But I'm not doing this trade, and I think
So what if I give you Brown, but I want Shepherd and somebody else? It's somebody on that roster that I'm gonna look at this roster and see who else I can get.
You can, man. You can have J.R. Smith. You can have Kay Felder. You can have the
I don't want the little. You talking about the 5'9" guy? The other
I T two and a half because he unproven. We don't know where he is.
Right. He unproven.
He's a body. I guess the point is that, is it in danger of falling apart? If Cleveland just stick to their guns and be like, man, you tried to sell us a lemon, and you guys knew this, and I'm not budging, I'm not doing this trade unless you give me Jaylen Brown. And you can have somebody else from my roster, but – I need Jaylen Brown because I don't know what's up with Mr. Hipcheck. I don't know, man.
That makes sense. I mean, and now that these guys were so-called, just about officially traded, how you go back if you're Isaiah Thomas or Kyrie, how you go back to your respective teams, you know, after all this mess has, you know, has went down. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, this is really interesting. This is interesting, man. I'm really interested. My ears are perked up. I'm really interested where this goes. But, you know, until it happens, then I'm going to
right,
be like,
right, right. So we got a couple of days. We got a couple of days before we get something. Yeah, we got
a couple of days, yep.
Ken, what about you, man? You know, how much jeopardy are they looking at on both sides of this trade not happening? And what do you – I know you just touched on a little bit, but, you know, what do you think the Cavs really should be asking for to make this – to make them, you know, feel comfortable about, you know, making this deal go through?
Well, yeah. You know what? I think I saw Brown, I saw Tatum out there, and I saw a pick. For me, I would like – a pick would be nice to prepare for the future. You're still hearing that LeBron's leaving. But I think I would also like a guy that looks like he could play in this league in Jaylen Brown. So if I'm Cleveland, I know one thing. I know I'm going back to the finals this year with LeBron, with IT, Kay Felder, whoever you put in the – or Derrick Rose. Because that's the thing. IT – if IT is hurt, they still have Derrick Rose, right? So if they
really,
I mean, it's LeBron, man. Just don't even think about the name. Just think, just LeBron.
Okay.
You know, you've seen LeBron take. Come on, man.
Oh, of course, Boobie Gibson. Of course.
All right. So I know it's a laugher. True, and he has to stay healthy. Also true. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you take a draft pick and forego a player, Tatum, Brown, then you don't have. Then you know that with this roster, you're going to go to the finals, especially in the East. And if Isaiah Thomas get hurt, you know you have Derrick Rose to that's still there. So you're not like stuck without somebody. So in other words, you're not going to Kay Felder, I guess right. is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, so you have somebody that can actually step on the court and give you 18-5. So I think they could look to the future. But on the flip side of that, we've seen, like B said, a little bit of Tatum. And we've seen in 2 years now, I think, Jaylen Brown. So you already know what they can do. So if you want to go ahead and take a guy that you've seen versus a guy that you haven't, that could potentially be a bust, then you may want to go ahead and get that asset now, knowing you have a first-round pick also to couple with him. So for me, if I'm Cleveland, I'm not accepting this deal without additional compensation. And I'll give you Shumpert because there was a report that Shumpert wanted to be traded. There was also a report that came out that said it wasn't true. But the fact is, it's out there. And if that's the case, then giving him up is – yeah, I mean, you're not losing anything. So that's what I would do.
This trade has to happen. I just can't see a scenario where Isaiah Thomas has to go back to Boston and Kyrie Irving has to go back to Cleveland. I think both teams need to do whatever it takes to make this happen. So much has been said. Isaiah Thomas has, you know, he just recently made a statement, but, you know, he really hadn't said much up until this point. And, you know, Kyrie's been relatively quiet as well. So both parties, you know, have kind of taken this thing with a grain of salt. There were rumors or rumblings, you know, that Isaiah Thomas was, you know, devastated by this trade. You know, this is a team that, you know, he poured his heart and soul to, as we remember in the playoffs. His sister died, and 2 days later he played his heart out for his team.
Right.
So I know I saw a lot of tweets and stuff from guys in the NBA talking about the fact that there's no loyalty. I mean, this guy, his sister died and he played in a playoff game because he knew if he didn't play, they didn't stand a chance.
They didn't stand a chance either way.
But he did comment. He said that he's not damaged. He said, you know, he'll be back, and he said he'll be the same player. He said, quote, maybe I'm not going to be back as soon as the season Excuse me. He said, maybe I'm not going to be back as soon this season as everybody wants me to be, but I'm going to be back. I'm going to be the same player again. No doctor has told me anything different than that, close quote. He also said surgery was my best option. He aggravated the injury, and you know, obviously it got worse as he played on. But he said he fully expects to be back healthy and 100%. Did not commit to saying that he is going to be back at the start of the season, but you know, we'll be back nonetheless. And I think, you know, you have to take him at his word. And but this deal has to happen. As far as what the Cavs should ask for, I think they could probably, you know, be happy with a pick. I don't know which pick it is. I really can't see Boston coming up off one of these assets like the Brown kid or Tatum. You know, that's not going to happen because I think those are the future as far as what they're going to try to build around, you know, especially, you know, considering if they can sign Kyrie Irving. But yeah, man, this has to happen. This has to happen. I think for all parties involved, you know, LeBron issued a little tweet or whatever, but he hasn't said much or anything like that. So, I just can't see it. Just like I couldn't see a scenario coming into play where Kyrie would be coming to camp, with the Cavs, after this has been put out there and we've all talked about it and everything like that. I'm almost positive that by the deadline for this trade, it's going to get done. I don't know how or what they're going to do, what type of compensation they're going to ask for, but I would be very surprised if this deal fell through because, at the very least, for all parties involved to, you know, kind of save face, this needs to.
This guy, all he talked about in interviews, it is Boston, being a Boston legend, going down as one of the greats. Like, the city loved him. And yep. He played in a playoff game after his sister died, like the very next day. And they traded him like that meant nothing to them. And people, this is a good case study when you talk about athletes leaving to go play for another organization. Yeah, the situation around Kevin Durant was different. We never argued against his right to do it because that's his choice. It was just, mm-hmm. you know, the situation, right? And the means and the scenario, right? But man, here's a guy that put up 53 and you got a chance to get a guy that you think is better, which Kyrie is better. I mean, everybody would, like, all of us would make this deal. Like, I would make this deal even if I was in that situation, even if he did play, you know, after his sister died. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that they have no loyalty. Why should the players have loyalty in return?
Right. Yeah, ain't no loyalty in it. I mean, you know, loyalty is just a song on Kendrick's album. It's really about, man, it's a business. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, and people say that all the time, but it really, really, truly is a business. And, you know, ultimately, you're an employee. And, you know, as long as you're performing, but, you know, they can get rid of you at any time, and it doesn't matter who you are. And it happens to everybody. Very few people get to play in the city or for the team that they want to play for their entire career and make all the money they want to be and be a legend. That happens very, very few and far between. I mean, we saw arguably the greatest player to ever play, Michael Jordan. You know, he ended his career in Washington. Now, most people forget about those Washington days, but there's no reason why Michael Jordan shouldn't have been, you know, a Bull for life and, you know, moved into the front office and possibly owned the Bulls. You know, so it happens. And it's unfortunate that, you know, Isaiah Thomas sees this side of the business, but that's what it is. And that's why I don't necessarily, we talked about this before, that's why I don't necessarily get mad at guys like Kevin Durant or LeBron for making decisions, making the business decisions that they're making, because you only have a small window of time to where you can control your own destiny. After a while, I mean, at some point, you know, Kevin Durant and LeBron are going to be washed up and they may bounce from team to team. You know, so you have to take advantage of this time when you have it, particularly if you have that kind of power or cachet. And so, I'm not mad at it, but it's unfortunate. But like you said, there's no loyalty there. There's no loyalty there. So we will see how this one plays out. Cam, were you able to get FIFO on yet?
Well, no.
I was going going to throw it to him before we move to the next topic.
Well, I you know, hopefully we'll get this worked out because, you know, I added him, but it's not answering. And he says it looks okay. Like a whole new app. So I don't know what's going on.
All right, man. So we'll move on. As you all know, unless you've been hiding under the rock, the quote unquote fight of the year went down this past weekend. Floyd Money Mayweather goes to 50-0, defeating Conor McGregor in a boxing match. Personally, I did not watch the fight. So, B, I'll start with you, man. What were your thoughts on the fight, man?
Yeah, I thought it was. It turned out more entertaining than I anticipated.
That's what a lot of people said.
Yeah, it really did. The first 3 to 4 rounds, I actually had Conor winning those, like, you know, those first 4 rounds, you know, 4 rounds to 0. Fifth round, I was like, okay, Mayweather got that. He's starting to look comfortable. Sixth round, I was watching over at FIFA house. That's when I noticed. I said, wait a minute. I was like, Conor's tired. I said, he's breathing out his mouth. I'm like, Mayweather's still looking like he's breathing through his nose. Like, he had a nice light jog or whatever. And Conor over there breathing through his mouth. Hands all down, not guarding, not keeping his guard up and nothing like that. So, yeah, of course, you know, and now looking back and listening to, like, the post-fight interviews and everything, you know, Mayweather pretty much planned this out from the get-go, you know. And plus, talking with Mike and FIFO and Ken, we talked about this on our podcast. Is the mic still on? Briefly, too. And, looking at the fight live, I was like, wow, Conor McGregor is actually holding his own, you know, in these first few rounds. And, like, Mayweather's not even throwing no punches because he's keeping him at bay and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, like I said, listen to all the post-fight interviews, and then Mike, out of all people, brought up a point that, like,
right,
Mayweather pretty much had this plan from the get-go, and I was like, wow, you're right, because as I was watching the fight, I noticed, and I didn't think about this, though, but Mayweather was, like, smiling the whole time. I think Mayweather kind of had his like, new version of rope-a-dope, you know, even though he kind of clowned Ali for doing that against George Foreman, and it was like, Mayweather, you kind of did that yourself a little bit. You know, you let Conor McGregor wear himself out because, you know, training MMA, them shorts are a lot short. Them fights are a lot shorter than a boxing match. So they knew all along that this guy was going to run out of gas at some point. Hell, he run out of gas when he fight MMA, you know. So, yeah, they was like, oh, yeah, this is a definitely a marathon, and he's not going to last that long. Yeah, I think if we would have saw Mayweather, maybe if he was fighting this Mayweather about 5-6 years ago, Mayweather would have dropped him. I think it just would have been a matter of time of Mayweather dropping him to the canvas. But, you know, Mayweather haven't fought in 2 years, 40 years old. Watching this fight, I did see some signs where I was like, yeah, Mayweather's definitely 40. Like, he's definitely because it was certain punches that he was missing that he normally don't miss, even though he was connecting on a lot of punches too. But it was some punches where he was like, where McGregor was clearing his face and Mayweather was just missing. I was like, man. And like, sometimes, you know, Mayweather reflexes wasn't there at certain points. I'm like, yeah, Mayweather, you 40, you know, cause you know, I've been following dude career since the 96, man. So yeah, like I noticed it was certain little signs. I'm like, yeah, Floyd, it's time to hang it up because you don't want to end up like Roy Jones or like just Evander Holyfield. Like,
right, fighting way too long.
Yeah, fighting way too long and being washed up too freaking long. So, you know, I think this is the perfect time for him to leave. You know, what else can you throw at him now? You threw an MMA dude out there to come at him. That was like the Floyd Mayweather of his arena in MMA and UFC and Conor McGregor. And, you know, Mayweather did work on him. So, hey, what can I say? I thought it was entertaining. You know, I'm pretty sure Conor loved that paycheck he got.
No question.
Paycheck he's ever gotten, you know, in his fighting career. But I still think he's going to go back to fighting UFC because I think he just loves fighting UFC more. But them checks ain't going to be coming that like that no more. So, but, yeah, fight was entertaining. I enjoyed it. I think for Floyd's last fight, I think it did much better than Andre Berto. Much better. So, yeah, that's all I got to say. Entertaining.
No doubt. Joining us is the homie FIFO. FIFO, what up, man?
Uh-oh.
Hey.
There he is. What up, man?
Chilling, man.
Hey, let's get your opinion on we'll go back to the basketball topic when we finish this one, but I want to get your take on we were just talking about Floyd defeating Conor McGregor, going 50-0. What's your overall thoughts on the fight, man?
Man, I thought it was a great fight. I thought they put on a show. I think McGregor came in there. He was fighting. He wasn't trying to box. And I think that's the difference. Even though we know that Mayweather has fought better fighters in terms of Canelo that has power and speed. You know, everybody was hyping up Ricky Hatton because he had power and speed. And obviously Conor McGregor had power and speed. But the difference is that these boxers, they're trained to box. So you get in there with Floyd, you're going to result to boxing. And you can't outbox Floyd. That's a major problem. You're never going to be able to outbox Floyd. Floyd is one of the best to ever do it. But McGregor is not technically a boxer. He is a fighter. So he's coming out there. He's bringing it to Mayweather. And I think that was the biggest difference. I think we saw that. He just ran out of gas. He's not a boxer, right? And the longest fight he had before this was 25 minutes. He fought 28. You know, when B and Modest was over here and we was watching, by the fifth, sixth round, Conor's starting to look up like, hey, man, how much more time we got? I'm dying out here. Like, yo, you know, so yeah, I think that was the main thing. I think that if Conor had the stamina to last 12 rounds, I think he could have won the fight. I think it was a really good fight. I caught the tail end of what B was saying. I agree. I think this is the best way for Floyd to go out. You went out, gave the people a great show. You got obviously one of the biggest paydays ever in sports history. So, you know, shit, go, you know, leave that jumper hand up there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Leave that follow through up there. You know, walk off.
No doubt. What about you, Ken? Your thoughts on the fight, man?
Well, I didn't want to watch it, but I did around fourth and fifth round, thanks to Twitter, because I just went on Twitter, and you know, I saw the notification come up, fight delay, streaming problem. I'm like, oh, see, they're already having issues, and then after a while, went on. I was just sitting here working, and I was like, man, let me see what's going on in this fight, and went to Twitter, and I saw that uppercut. I was like, I was like, oh my God, he tagged Floyd. Because all I heard was, he's not going to hit him. He won't be able to touch him. I've seen Floyd fight, and I saw the videos that B talked about last show about the training videos on Instagram. I was like, oh yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to touch him. And he touched him. And I was like, man, if Floyd get hit with a couple of more of those, he might go down. The problem was he didn't get hit with a couple of more of those. And that was the issue. He just got tired, and that was it. And the thing I kept noticing that just bothered the hell out of me, I was like, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Because his hands were by his hip the whole time. And I'm like, dude, you're leaving yourself wide open. And I'm thinking to myself, I said, at any moment, Floyd could just go in there and just start tagging you. And as it went on and on and on, and we saw what happened. Floyd went in and he started, you know, tagging the head, and then that was it. The judge was like, it was enough. It got to a point where Conor wouldn't even swing back. When I think about the moment, I'm thinking about what Ralph said and B said about Floyd going out this way. For one, I was glad the fight happened and is over. I don't have to hear about it anymore. And right. Two, you know, I think about the way it went down, day of excitement and the surprise that we all got, not from Floyd, but from Conor, and the fact that we got punches. Like, we saw Floyd, like, really punch, land, and hit a guy. And, I mean, unfortunately, it had to be a guy that never really boxed professionally before. But we didn't get that in the Pacquiao fight. And for me, I was appreciative of that because I got something that seemed exciting. And it went the way it should have went.
Yeah, I agree. I think even though I did not watch the fight, I had no interest in watching the fight. I woke up Sunday morning And I went to look at, I got the notification, obviously, when I woke up and I checked my phone, I got a notification that Floyd had won by TKO. And I was like, okay, that's what's up. And then I saw that it was the 10th round. I was like, okay, 10th round. I was like, okay, so if he went 10 rounds, then, you know, really, that's pretty good for Conor, you know, because he's not a boxer. And, you know, somebody had sent me something on email, and I went to YouTube, and the first link that was up there was the entire fight on YouTube. So I was like, okay, it's Sunday morning. I ain't got nothing else to do. I was like, so I watched the first round, and then I fast forwarded. Exactly. So I watched the first round, and then I fast forward, and I was actually impressed by what he did in the first round. So I fast forwarded to the ninth round, and I saw the difference, and that's all I needed to see. Really, you could tell, like FIFO said, he was out of gas, you know, and even the commenter said that too. And, you know, but you gotta tip your hat to it. Cause I think he went probably a lot longer than a lot of people thought that he did. And, you know, I think Floyd probably, you know, being a champion that he is, knew that that was a possibility. Okay, well, let me just, you know, he want to dance. Let's see how long he's willing to dance. And then, you know, Floyd being the, you know, technical boxer that he is, took his time and, you know, just cut him up. So that got me to, you know, thinking about some other questions and things that I saw on Facebook and Twitter. And then I saw comments, people talking about he was the greatest of all time. So B, is Floyd Mayweather the greatest boxer of all time? And if not, where would you rank him? Top 5, top 10, top 20?
Yeah, I would rank him top 5. Yeah, I would. Okay. I don't think he's the greatest of all time, but I would probably have him top 5 in all boxers and weight class. Just me personally, I would probably have him. Yeah, I have him top 5. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, folks who's older than me who's been watching boxing, you know, longer, it would probably, you know, have a different top 5. But
right,
yeah, I'll put Floyd in my top 5.
What about you, FIFO? Is he the greatest of all time, and where would you rank him?
Not the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. I think he lacked the punching power to be considered the greatest. I think if he had that one thing, then yeah, hands down. But that's the one thing he lacked. But he's definitely top 5. He's definitely top 5. I don't know where exactly you put him. I think this is a question you really got to sit down and really think about. But yeah, he's top 5, hands down.
What about you, Ken?
Not greatest of all time, and I don't even think he's in my 5.
Okay.
Excuse me, Ken. Kyle, well, like, what you basing this top 5 off of? Like, is this like skill?
I guess everything. The skill, the longevity, the career. Obviously, you know, with him being 50-0, I mean,
if it's off longevity, I would say yeah, because I mean, he's definitely top 5. Because look at Serena, look how she's dominated her sport like for so long, and we speak highly of her. I think Mayweather the same way. Like, he's dominated his sport. The man started professionally boxing in 96, was a champion in 98, and hadn't looked back since then. So crazy. Yeah, that's top 5 right there.
I probably put him in the top 10. I think he's definitely the best of his era. You know, I don't think that there's anybody of this era. I obviously, you know, we can't compare, you know, compare and contrast as far as the heavyweights and the middleweights and flyweights and guys of that nature, you know. But then I think about, you know, if he had come up in maybe, let's say, the 80s or the 90s, you know, how would he have fared if he had moved up and, let's say, had to fight a Ray Leonard or a Hagler or guys like that?
Pernell Whitaker, man.
Oh, my God. Sweet Pea was a beast, beast. You know, but I take, regardless of how I feel about Floyd personally, what he does in the ring, you can't take anything away from him. So, yeah, I would definitely say probably, I take that back. He's probably my top 5. I probably put him in my top 5. But I wouldn't, he's definitely not the greatest of all time.
How many times he got strung up for domestic abuse?
Floyd?
Yeah.
I think it was only once, the one time for, you know, I think he did like 3 months in jail. Hmm. But I mean, it was other like rumors and stuff been going on by him, right, you know, abusing women for years. But I think the one he actually did time for, that was it.
Yeah, 51-0, huh?
this fool, man.
I know, right? You stupid.
FIFO, before we move on to the next topic, let me double back from FIFO. We talked a little bit about the Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas trade. You know that, you know, the trade has hit a snag, and the, you know, the Cavs are wanting more. So two-part question. You know, how much do you think this trade is in jeopardy of not happening? And the second part is, what do you think the Cavs should ask for to complete this trade?
I think Boston values Kyrie that much that they're going to make this trade happen. I think Cleveland wants this trade to go through because I don't think they want to have Kyrie in training camp, especially right now. We already know what kind of has transpired between Kyrie and Bron, and then you trade him and then he's back. I don't know how that goes over. Again, I've been saying from the beginning, Boston was the best trade partner for them. And I've also said from the beginning, you got to give me one of the youngins. So for me, I wouldn't even completed this deal without one of the youngins. So I think that's probably what Cleveland is wanting. I don't know if that's what Boston is willing to give up.
Hey, so people, so if me and Ken was talking about this earlier, so if you Boston and, you know, you in Cleveland say, hey, we want one of these Browns or Tatum. Mm-hmm. Who you think the Cavs should give up? You know, who else should they put in that poll just besides Kyrie from Cleveland?
I don't think Boston wants anything else that Cleveland has to offer. So, you know, if you trade either one of them, it's not really going – you're not going to – Cleveland is not going to have to give up anybody unless they're over 15 players on the roster. I'm not sure how many players they have under contract right now. But in terms of a money perspective, those guys are on rookie deals. So they don't like, you know, they're like 1%, you know what I'm saying? 5% of the total trade value. So you can get rid of a guy like that and not have to take anything back. But again, I can't see it. Like the whole trade faltering, like it's just not a good situation overall.
Yeah.
And again, I think Boston values Kyrie too much to not allow this to happen. And also because IT is injured. So moving forward, if the deal gets rescinded, where does Boston go from here?
That's a good question, man. I have no clue.
You know, they don't really
treat, because you can't bring him back.
That's what I'm saying. So the deal has to get done. If I'm Cleveland, obviously now you have the leverage. Now you have the leverage. But if I'm Boston, I'm not trying to give up one of the youngins. I'm honestly not.
So what you got to do, man? Some got to give.
Some got to give. That's what I would say. Like they have 7 picks. Like in the next 2 drafts, give up 2 more picks. Like I'll give you all types of future assets because you know what? Look, if Cleveland does not make a deal for DeMarcus Cousins or something like that, there's no way LeBron stays. So you got to start thinking about that future. So, and Boston is the gateway to the future. They have so many picks, man. You got to make a deal. You got to make a deal.
Do you think Cleveland did this on purpose? Like they knew that he wouldn't pass the physical, but they agreed to it anyway, just so they can kind of, you know, strong arm them into making the deal? Seems a little suspect.
It does, but I think it just speaks to the level of desperation of the situation between LeBron and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. And you got to keep in mind, too, that we talked about before, like Boston, FIFO mentioned it, but for the most part, you know, a lot of people didn't peg Boston as a potential trade partner for them. So when this deal came across, you know, I'm pretty sure they were chomping at the bit to make it happen.
But I guess what I'm saying is that Cleveland knew that if they agreed to the trade and a couple of days later they put Isaiah Thomas through a physical, and in other words, they suspected all along that he wasn't going to pass, right? But publicly, this trade is done. So right now, both organizations are in a bond. So in order to save face, you're kind of looking at Boston like, hey, you got to do something now because – we heard what IT thinks about the move, and everybody already knew about the hip anyway. So it's almost like they agreed to the trade, put it out there publicly, and then say, hey, we're going to take this back. And it's almost forcing Boston to give something else up in order to make this happen.
I don't know, man. I don't know, because at the end of the day, you know, everybody knew before the trade happened that IT was injured. And we all knew that he elected not to have surgery. He wanted it to heal naturally, which I understand. You know, the hip is a major, major joint. So I get that. So to me, Cleveland, you were taking a calculated risk anyway by trading Kyrie or acquiescing to his demands. That was a risk in itself. So I don't think that they had ulterior motives in terms of trying to make this deal with Boston. I think that, again, this was the best trade partner. They were willing to give up the most. Because think about it. Just in your mind's mind, right? Like, just go around the NBA. Who has the assets to get Kyrie right now? Just think about it. Like, Phoenix doesn't want to give up Josh Jackson. If they take mm-hmm. him off the table, then who else? Brooklyn ain't doing nothing. They ain't got no picks. You ain't taking D'Angelo Russell. You know what I'm saying? Like, Miami ain't got nothing. Who are you taking back? Deion Waiters? The guy you shipped off? That's not happening. You taking back Goran Dragic? That's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Who from San Antonio are you taking?
Right.
Who from Minnesota are you taking? Because you still can't trade Jeff Teague until like December 15th.
Right.
You know, so what truly, who else is going to give you what Boston gave you? And right now, because of that situation between Bron and Kyrie, you got to make it work. I don't know what they asked for. Again, if I'm Boston, I'm not trying to let go of one of those youngins. But if I got to, then you got to. You know what I'm saying? But I would try to give them more picks.
Yeah, I would start with picks first. I think picks are you safe because, you know, idealistically, they want to build around the Browns and the Tatums and kids like that. So along with Kyrie, you know, presuming that they can re-sign him. So I'm with you, man. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. As we mentioned, I think they have until Thursday at 10 or 2 or something like that. I'm sorry, I don't have the time in front of me. But I know they have until Thursday to get this done. You know, time is ticking. The clock is ticking. So we'll see what Cleveland has and see what, you know, Boston can pull off. But this, like people said, man, I think this deal has to happen. It just to save face for all parties involved, because you can't go back to what it was, and nobody else is going to be able to give you this kind of deal on the table. So we'll see how it plays out, and pretty sure we'll be talking about it again next week. Moving on to the NFL, Matthew Stafford gets paid. My man Matthew Stafford's new contract extension will make him the highest paid player in the NFL. Ken, is this good or bad for the NFL?
Oh, this is bad. This is bad. This is good for everybody that's about to get paid. But if you think about the long-term effects of what this deal could potentially do, especially like who's out right now? Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins doesn't have a contract. And Stafford is better than Kirk Cousins, but you best believe that Kirk Cousins is going to get this type of money because of the way the market has risen for quarterback pay. Now, where I could potentially see this impacting the NFL is in if you're paying your quarterback all the money, what do you have left to spend? How do you afford an Odell Beckham Jr.? How do you afford a Le'Veon Bell or a Zeke? You know what I'm saying? Or David Johnson. You run into a problem with balancing out the roster because you're spending all of your money in one position, and quarterbacks are hard to find. So when you get a guy with the talent level of Stafford, you have to pay him, but then you also run the risk of paying only him. And right. That's the issue. And you're relying on him to constantly come back the way he has had to in the NFL over and over again, because the talent isn't balanced on that team or in the future, any future NFL team. So yeah, congratulations to Stafford. I definitely think he deserves to get paid. I think he's earned it. There are a lot of quarterbacks in the league that has talent, but are unable to perform when it matters most. And he's proven that he can do that. He still has some things he got to do, like win a playoff game. But you know you have a piece there. But now, what are you going to do with the rest of it? So, so that's why I think this deal is a problem for the NFL.
No doubt, no doubt. What about you, FIFO? Like I said, Stafford, man, he's going to make more than Aaron Rodgers. He's going to make more than Brady. He's going to make more than everybody else in the NFL. Is this good or bad for the league?
I'm indifferent. I don't think it's good or bad.
Okay.
Mainly because in the NFL, it's all about timing. It's when you sign the deal. The last guy to sign the deal is going to be the highest paid at their position. Because we saw it a couple years ago when Richard Sherman first signed his deal. He was the highest paid cornerback. And then 2 days later, why am I drawing the blank? You know I'm bad with names. Cornerback from Arizona.
Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson signed a deal, and then he was the highest paid. It's all about timing in the NFL. And I don't think it's bad because, like Ken mentioned, the most important position on any 53-man roster is the quarterback position. And if you have a guy with any level of talent, you're going to have to pay for that talent at that position. The way that you balance out a roster, Ken, is called the draft. And guys like Bill Belichick, they master that. If you look at Pete Carroll, they've mastered that. I have to give props where props is due. Even the Falcons drafted well in the last 2 years because now they have an identity, right? So that's how you are able to have turnover. That's how you're able to acquire talent on the cheap. And some of them you got to let go, and some of them you keep. That's all part of the evaluation process. Some teams are better than others. So that's why I don't think it's a major problem for the NFL. Because Aaron Rodgers, guess what? When he signs his deal, he's going to be the highest paid. Tom Brady's never going to be the highest paid because he plays for New England and that coach up there.
Right.
Right? So at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt him. I definitely think, and this is going a little bit off topic, that the NFL players need to have guaranteed contracts. I think that they need to increase the salary cap so that way you can keep more players on a team. I think those are the two things the NFL needs to do. I don't think that this sends shockwaves through the NFL at all. This is business as usual.
No doubt. No doubt. Last but not least, man, the lone Detroit Lions fan on this podcast, my man, Beezy, 430. What up, though? Speak on it, man. Your QB is going to be the highest paid, man. I sent the text last night, and you said that the Lions are going to go 7-9. Is this good or bad for the NFL? And what's your personal take on it, man?
I think it's just the same way with NBA as as the market. It's just the market value of a QB now. Lions wanted to lock them up for these next, 5 years or whatever? Right, so right,
5 years, yep.
The craziest thing I can say, too, and I was telling my homies this, too, is in my lifetime, Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback. And, for real, for the Lions, you know, that I've
ever... What about Scott Mitchell? He was decent for a little while.
No.
I'm joking.
Trash can bums, dude. Sanders pretty much carried our team.
Yeah, if Sanders had a halfway decent quarterback to play with...
Right. So, like I was saying, Matthew Stafford is probably the greatest franchise quarterback for the Lions. So, you know, we locked him up. It's like, what else can you do? I mean, if we start over from scratch, you know, do we want to go through that whole process? The guys know the system. The players love him. The coaches like him. You know, we might as well keep him. You know, it's just like, what other options do we have? You know what I'm saying, at this point? You know, lock him up. I don't think we're going to be a playoff team anyway. It's crazy from the outside looking at a guy that never won a playoff game. He's like 5-29 on the road against teams with winning records. It's just like, you know, it's just a growing rate, man. It's just the rate of the QBs. This is where we're going. Same way with NBA, when these free agents be signing all this money, we'd be like, damn, why they making all this money? It's just the market value. That's just what it is. He was coming up on his contract year too, so the Lions wanted to get that out the way and just make sure they lock him in for the next few years. So, I mean, at this point, I think he's just going to retire a Lion. Let's just hope we get some pieces around him and you know, get that defense, get that O-line beefed up some. You know, hopefully we can make a run at some point. I don't know. I would like to see a Lions in the Super Bowl in my lifetime. Damn.
and you know,
go ahead, Bevo.
My bad. You know, another thing, too, for Matthew Stafford, you know, part of the reason why I think he's getting this money, it obviously, you know, B gave you all of the records. Like, he hasn't won a playoff game. But let's be honest, and I'm not calling him a top 10 quarterback, but he has top 10 arm talent. That's undeniable.
I mean, he's been throwing for more than like 4,000 yards, like for the past three or four. He's been like Drew Brees, like damn near, just minus the Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. As far as his stats, you know, as far as his like just strictly stats, dude has a cannon for arm. I mean, you can't, like I say, he's the best. He's our all time greatest QB, franchise QB. Is no denying it. I mean, hey, you know, if you look at the pool of talent that we've had since the day we drafted Barry Sanders up to now, it's bar none. He's clearly the best QB we ever had. So, you know, I get it. You know, to go throwing money, we got to do something. We just got to get Bill Talon around him, man. You know, I mean, because he can put up the numbers. Numbers, he's put up some numbers. This is unfortunate. They just haven't translated into wins and playoff wins at that. So, and we only been to playoffs twice since we drafted him.
Okay. That was going to be my next question.
Been to playoffs twice.
Yeah, I think it's I don't think it's good for the NFL. It's great for Stafford. I'm happy for him. Get your money, because I'm all for guys getting their money. I watched Stafford, you know, when he was at Georgia, and then, you know, obviously coming to the league, having, you know, Calvin Johnson on his squad and everything like that. And he is a very, I think he's on that, you know, second tier of NFL quarterbacks that we talk about. You know, those that are not, you know, the elite, but maybe that second level of quarterback. And, you know, the market basically concedes that he needs to be paid like that. I mean, that's where football is at this point, you know, contract wise. So I get it. But it's not good for the NFL in the sense of, like you said, other guys, the Aaron Rodgers. Now, Brady, you know, Brady, like you said, plays for New England. Plus, his wife makes more than he does. So he's probably not going to try to hit, you know, them over the head. You know, but obviously, if you dump a lot of money into one particular position, then, you know, it doesn't have a lot of flexibility. Now, unlike the NBA, it doesn't have a lot of flexibility salary cap wise where you can spend in other places. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily account for guys on minimum deals like you do in the NBA, and it's less people. But it's going to be interesting. And the reason why I say it's not good for the NFL is because with the upcoming labor strife that we're going to be looking at in 3 years from now, that's what I'm saying. The NFL owners are going to dig in, because they're going to say, well, look, our salaries are too high. And they're going to want, you know, a hard cap, and they're going to want to try to you know, take as much money as they can. I think FIFA has a great idea as far as the guaranteed contracts. I would love to see that happen in the NFL, but the players have to be advocates for it. And they have to fight for it. And I know that that's something, you know, you're in negotiations, you know, you're going to give up something to get something. You know, I'm interested to see how hard they will fight for those type of things. You know, will it be because of the nature and the attrition of the sport? I don't expect everybody to have guaranteed contracts. But, you know, if you have more people that do have guaranteed contracts, I think you'll see a little bit more financial flexibility from the players as well as the owners. So, now, with an upcoming labor strike, you know, possibly in 3 years, I don't think this is good for the NFL, but it's great for Matt Stafford. Like I said, get your money, man. I'm happy for you. Moving on, college football. We had a couple of games this past weekend, but college football officially kicks off this weekend. Ken, I'll throw it to you, man. What teams are you looking forward to seeing this year? Or any particular games are you looking forward to seeing this year?
Definitely the game kicking off this weekend, Alabama, Florida State.
Thanks.
Definitely Lamar Jackson. Been hearing a lot about Sam. Excuse me. Been hearing a lot about Sam.
You still eating, Ken? Ken's over there taking breaks. He's eating. He's still eating shrimp and grits.
No.
I told you we only had 30 minutes with Ken, man.
Oh, man. The quarterback, Sam Arnold, right? That's his name, right?
Sam, yeah.
Yeah, been hearing a lot about him. I didn't really get a chance to watch him play a lot, so I'll watch him this year to see if he's the real deal. But really the guy I'm looking forward to seeing this year, of course, is Lamar Jackson, man. That's it. To see if he can take the next step and take his game to another level.
Look, man, all I'm going to say is this. I'm happy for my Hurricanes. This is the highest ranking they done had like in the last 5-6 years.
Hey, Mark Rick got him back, man.
He got him back. You know, look, I think that was the right move. I think Kirk Herbstreit has said that he predicts UM to win the ACC. So, you know, I'm just happy for the Hurricanes, man. Hopefully we're back. We know Mark Rick can get talent.
Mm-hmm.
South Florida has a lot of football talent.
Ton of talent.
So hopefully we can get back there. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Well, I will say this much, man. It definitely balances out college football when Miami is good. That's definitely sure. What about you, B? Any teams or players in particular or games that you're looking forward to?
This weekend, yeah, definitely the Alabama-Florida State game at Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, sir.
That Michigan and Florida game.
Ooh, yes, yes.
That's going to be a
Harbaugh.
Yeah, looking forward to checking that one out. And I think this weekend, I was the only one. I think that West Virginia and Virginia Tech is going to be a good one. That's going to be a Sunday nighter. I think that's about it as far as just this opening weekend.
Mm-hmm. Same here. I'm definitely, as a Florida State fan, I'm definitely looking forward to Florida State, Alabama. Still trying to pull some strings on some free 99 tickets to that game. So y'all pray for your boy. So I'm trying to be in the building. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to that, obviously. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Clemson does. You know, can they bounce back without Deshaun Watson? I think the biggest, you know, one of the biggest question marks that they have, obviously, is that quarterback. You know, how do you replace the guy who, you know, led you to, you know, national championship? Lamar Jackson, obviously, is going to be great to watch. Penn State they're looking to do big things. They got a running back. I can't remember the kid's name. The kid's a beast. Looking forward to seeing him and seeing how well he plays. He's going to be a Heisman candidate. Ken, you mentioned USC. I'm always interested as to how USC is almost always in the preseason top 10, but like you rarely know a lot about them. You know, and I know part of it's because where we live, we for those of you listening, the four of us live here in Atlanta, but you know, to be honest, Pac-12 games really don't get a lot of play. And a lot of times when Pac-12 games come on, you know, it's 11, 12 o'clock at night. So a lot of people on the East Coast don't watch Pac-12 games. I do because I love watching college football. So I'm interested to see how UCLA plays, how USC does. And then obviously, y'all know I don't like Urban Meyer. But Ohio State stacked, man. They're stacked again. So it's... I'm really interested to see how they look. Ohio State, Alabama. I think the Alabama LSU game is going to be critical this year, as it is each and every year. But yeah, I'm looking forward to. I'm a huge fan, man. So I'm one of those people that, on a week to week basis, there's like one or two games, sometimes two or three games, that I can watch. That I look forward to watching. So I'm glad, man. Like the kids say, it's lit. I'm glad college football is back. I will be right in front of the TV on Saturday afternoon. Don't bother me. Don't text me. Don't call me. You know, that's what I do. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. As I mentioned, college football does kick off this weekend. So make sure that you check it out. We'll be talking a lot of college football, obviously, as the season progresses. Of course, you know, we still going to talk NBA, still going to talk NFL and Major League Baseball as well. Speaking of Major League Baseball, your man Giancarlo Stanton, who currently leads the Major League Baseball in home runs, recently made some headlines when he said that Roger Maris's record of 61 single season home runs was he viewed that as the record and not the 73 home runs that were hit in a single season by one Barry Lamar Bonds. So basically he's saying that, like, look, he views 61 as the record and not 73. FIFA, what's your thoughts about that, man?
You know, I think we talked about the whole steroid Barry Bonds thing way back when we
did a video on it.
So make sure you go to the channel, go check out that video. I think it's probably like maybe 1 or 2 years old now. Or not, definitely not one. It's probably like 2 or 3 years old now. But I don't have no problem. I don't. Everybody what? Is. Of course. Look, let me explain the reason why I don't have a problem. Everybody doesn't have to accept what Barry Bonds has became later on in his career, right? Like, there was question marks, right? Like, let's be honest. There was question marks. He never tested positive, but nope. Everybody is entitled to believe what they want to believe. Giancarlo Stanton, he doesn't believe that Barry Bonds was true to the game, and he's G-checking him. This is all that is. And you know why he's G-checking him? Because he's one of the few people that could probably break the record. And I don't think we have to question if this guy, you know, is on the juice or not. At least not for me, not when I watch him play. From the moment this man stepped on the diamond, he's been that damn big. You know, like this guy, he makes some football players look small. Mm-hmm. Carlos is a freaking thoroughbred. This guy is the truth. So if that's how he feels, right, and he feels he's been true to the game, and one of the greats hasn't been, this is just his way to G-check him. I'm okay with it. I don't have no problems because y'all already know how I feel about Barry Bonds. I don't understand how your numbers go up when you get old. That's the opposite. No, it does not happen because even the great Michael Jordan wasn't averaging no 30 some points a game at 40. It doesn't happen, Ken.
Different sport.
You can believe whatever you want to believe, but I am telling you, Father Time is undefeated. At 40, Thanks. You're not going to have your best season. That naturally does not happen.
Everybody's not very wise.
And keep in mind, folks, at the time of this recording, Giancarlo Stanton hit his 51st home run. I think he's set a record for the most home runs hit in the month of August with, what, about a little more than a month and a half left. Safe to say that he could get 61 home runs. You know, I don't know if he can necessarily get 73, but he's coming out of the mouth saying that he views 61 as the record. B, what's your take on that, man?
You know, people gonna hate on the black man. You know what I mean?
They're gonna hate on the brother.
You know what I'm saying? They're gonna hate on the brother. Like you said, he didn't test positive for steroids, and I'm pretty sure. Barry Bonds is going to go up and get some steroid pitchers too.
Of course.
I mean, at this point, Roger Clemens. Huh?
Roger Clemens was one.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure at this point, if 75 to 80% of players was juicing during the, you know, Barry Bonds era, then, I mean, it's pretty much even playing field if you ask me. But yeah, man, you know, it's hating on the brother. That's all that is. It's hating on the damn brother. I hate to be the one to say that, but that's what it is. It's hating
Yo,
on
is
the
this
brother.
Camera still on? That's what I mean. Is the camera still on? Because y'all need to see my face right now.
Hating on Barry Bonds, man. We all leave Barry Bonds alone because he got the freaking home run record. They was hating on Aaron for passing Babe Ruth. On the brother. Just hating.
Come on, man. Ken, what about you, man? 61 over 73, man. The math don't add up, or does it?
It don't for Giancarlo. his math is off. Look, man, to be fair to Giancarlo Stanton, because he's a big dude. I don't want him coming after me. I don't want any problems. Look, when I first saw this, I was like, what? I just couldn't believe it. I felt insulted, and I felt like B. But I don't know if he's talking about Roger Maris is 61, or he has to, because Mark McGwire hit 70, right?
Yeah. So he's basically discrediting. Well,
yeah, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa.
They the three of them, McGwire, Sosa, and Bonds all cleared 61.
Yeah, but see, McGuire was cool with the brothers, man. He was cool with Sammy Sosa, who was a brother at the time. He's not a brother. He don't look like a brother anymore. But back in the day, Sammy Sosa looked like one of us. Go look it up. Go to Google Images. Anyway, I was like, man, like, are we really gonna do this? The record is the record, man. Like, your boy
Barry MLB Trump has it down for 73.
Right. It's 73. McGuire hit 70, and it is what it is. So while Giancarlo Stanton out here talking all this crap about what the real record is, he needs to worry about how he's hitting all of these home runs. And I'm not talking, Ralph, about whether or not he's juicing or anything like that. I'm talking about the balls being juiced themselves. Because all season long, they've talked about the increase in the home run rate this year, and they think that the balls have been altered in some kind of way to allow for this surge in home runs.
Also part of that equation is that this year pitchers are throwing more fastballs than ever as well.
Okay.
Yeah, true. Okay. I see you, FIFO.
Hey, man, I gotta be on it, man. Come with
Yeah, I have anything, man.
Yeah, I see you can come back from that. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at it, man. Okay. So there has been, since Roger Maris did it, yeah, Sosa hit 63 one year. He hit 64 one year. McGuire hit 65 one year. Then Sosa came back and hit 66 one year. And then McGuire hit 70 one year. And then obviously Bonds hit 73. We all know the saying, chicks dig the long ball. I think it's a slap in the face to Barry. Now, I can't and won't go to bat for Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire. But to me, now I'll be clear. I don't care about the steroid era. And the reason, and I'm a baseball fan, and the reason why I say that is because everybody knew what was going on. Major League Baseball knew what was going on.
Right.
And they turned a blind eye. And we talked about it on the video. I remember that video, FIFO, because we argued the whole video, and then like when the video went off, like we kept arguing in the park. But yeah, man, it's so baseball didn't care. So to be honest, I don't care. I think just personally, Barry Lamar Bonds was the best baseball player that I've ever seen in my life. And that was before he took one drop of steroids, you know, and so that's just me and what I've seen. So I don't knock Barry Bonds for the 73. The record is what it is. We saw it with our own two eyes. And you know, like B said, it's in the record books. You know, now whether or not you want to put an asterisk by it or anything like that, I don't know. Bonds never tested positive for any performance enhancing drugs. You know, McGuire and Sosa, you know, they came up shady. You know, but again, even in those two, baseball didn't care at the time, so I don't care. I think it's a little bit funny that Stanton's saying this now when he has a chance, when he clearly has a chance. He's at 51 now at the time of this recording. He has a chance to beat. Yeah, it's coincidence. He has a chance to beat 61. So at the very least, we know he can get to 61. He probably can't get to 73. But, you know, trust me, there's a whole bunch of people that are rooting for him to get to 73 because they want to erase Bonds' name from the history books. But so some bad. Of the same people that, you so know, bad. And it's crazy because I told you guys, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Braves game and it felt weird to me to see these people, you know, love and revere. It was like Hank Aaron came out and it was like, stand up and give your applause for the home run king. And I'm like, come on, man. Y'all call him the home run king. Y'all didn't want him to break Babe Ruth's record. You know, he was getting death threats.
Yeah, you know,
exactly. So, and some of the same people are, you know, championing Hank Aaron now that he's old and, you know, in the later stages of his life. So, you know, it's revisionist history, man. Exactly. So
they
I don't.
Start, they started loving Ali until he started shaking. I'm serious. That's how it was. They couldn't stand him when he was able to talk and speak his mind. As soon as he started shaking, and soon as he started being quiet, all of a sudden everybody wanted to love him. Now. Facts only.
I can't even finish my point.
Yeah, B keeping it 1,000 though. I agree with you, B. I ain't even laughing, bro. I agree with you. 1,000.
I'm not laughing at Ali. I'm not laughing at Ali. I'm laughing at B. Oh my God. I forgot.
But, what you know what? But Barry hit 328 that year, man. So he didn't sacrifice hitting power for average. Like, he was still hitting the ball really, really well.
And you know what, Ken? And we talked about this before on previous podcasts. I still don't know that, and I'm not for drugs, but I still don't know that taking steroids helps you actually hit a baseball. It might make you hit it farther, but it doesn't make you hit the ball.
He hit 370 the following year. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah, exactly. Look. I'm not – hitting a baseball is a skill.
Right.
Barry Bonds was one of the greatest to do it. All I'm saying is with age and attrition, at 40, you can't hit 400 feet no more. That just don't – look, if Ken, how old are you? Don't even 41. Put that out there because – okay, 41.
He's 50.
41. 41. I know Ken is no major professional athlete, but you put that man on a basketball court right now and see what happened. And I'm 33. See what happened. But back when he was around my age, he could run with me, but he can't do it at 40.
Not even close.
I put you like this. Outside of major professional athletes, come. Any 40-year-old that's in Atlanta right now, come holler at me on the basketball court and see what happens. And I'm not even nowhere near what I used to be. But I guarantee you the majority of 40-year-olds can't run with me, man. I guarantee you.
Hey, was that you that posted the picture of the fellas at Central Park after playing ball?
I sure did.
Oh, man. It took me back, and I'm like, man, that's how it is. That's how you get old.
Yeah, man.
Man,
you gotta reminisce. Agree. That's all you can do.
And that's all you can do. I agree with you, man. I mean, yeah, we saw Barry Bonds' body increase in size, head increase in size, hat size increase in size as he got older. You know, now if you want to take stuff to make your nuts shrivel, hey, man, knock yourself out. I that ain't my style. I don't kick it like that. But hey, you know, I still say, man, like you said, it takes a skill, and it's very few people that can hit a baseball 3 out of 10 times efficiently every time that they, you know, come up to bat. And Barry Bonds is one of them. He's one of, like I said, one of the greatest hitters. One of the greatest, to me, greatest baseball player I ever saw. And
yep, best baseball player of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, fine. You can make that argument, and I wouldn't even argue it. But one of the things that made Barry Bonds great, right, and you know I don't watch baseball like that, but I follow greatness. I always follow greatness. I know what I know. Right, one of the things that made Barry Bonds a great hitter is he swung late because he had tremendous bat speed.
X.
How in the hell do you maintain that at 40? I digress.
That's a good question. I mean, you know what?
He was the MJ of baseball. He was the LeBron of baseball.
No.
He could do it. Okay, not the MJ, but he's the LeBron. He could do it all.
Pause right there. Pause right there, Ken. What was MJ doing at 40?
Fadeaways?
No. Oh, he was averaging less than 20 points a game. We talking about
Jordan averaged like 22, 23 in Washington, right?
Nah, he was like,
okay. He was like 18. Hey, but what is LeBron doing right now? What is LeBron doing right now?
But LeBron is my age.
But he's been playing for 15 years.
Ask me what LeBron is doing 7 years from now. LeBron is still in his early 30s.
But that's a different sport, though, Raph, and you know that. That is the difference between running up and down the court and then and walking up every 3 innings to hit a ball.
Ken, name me a dominant 40-year-old in any sport besides your guy. Name one outside of Barry.
Hey, man, black don't crack, man. This shows the greatness of the African-American
Jordan
race.
2 years at Washington, he averaged 22.9 points a game and 20 points a game.
That's pretty damn good.
20.
Yeah, that's still good at 40.
No, of course it's still good at 40, but it's a decline.
Oh, no question. Yeah, that's a decline for 32.
But he was out of the game for 2 years.
Ken, stop making excuses for your boy. All I'm saying is, where is the degression? Because you could progress, but then there's a regression. Where did it happen for Ben? It's supposed to happen to every human being, and it did not happen to him. Why, Ken?
Aaron Bonds could probably hit 30 home runs right now.
Exactly, because he's that easily.
Hey, man, it's as you guys can tell, it's always a heated debate, and people say we don't talk. We do talk baseball, but yeah, man, Barry, in my eyes, you know, of course, I think he did something, but he didn't get caught. And again, you know, for the time, man, baseball didn't care. So why should I?
You know what, Kyle? I read the book. It seemed convincing that he took the needle to the butt. But I'm a Barry Bonds fan, man.
I am too. I am too. And to be honest, and we talked about it before, I really do think that he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. I can't say the same for McGuire and Sosa, but I think Barry Bonds is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose may not ever get in, but I think Bonds is going to get in. It won't be anytime soon, but I think probably in the next 10 years, Bonds is in there. He is definitely in there. As always, man, we want to thank you all for tuning in and checking us out. Make sure that you download, subscribe, and share with your friends this podcast. Like I said, we call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. We are Dead End Sports, the place where sports opinions collide. Now it's time for our final thoughts. First up, my man B, what you got for your final thought?
Just want to say, I guess as a boxing fan, just strictly boxing. Thank you, Floyd Mayweather, for a wonderful career in the boxing world. You know, people forget the fact that you 40 years old, haven't boxed in 2 years and still came back in the sport and won and dominating fashion and went out 50-0. You know, it's amazing, man. It was wonderful following your career since you was an Olympian in 96 and then seeing you turn professional and, you know, being a kid from Grand Rapids and stuff, Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is about two hours west of Detroit. And okay. Just seeing you, you know, seeing them come up the rankings, man, come up the rankings, become a champion in 98, you know, fight Dale Corrales and Notorio Gotti's and, you know, the Oscar De La Hoya's and all the other, you know, welterweights and lightweights of the world that you fought. You know, you did a good job, man. Now this is your time to use your investments, do whatever you want with your buku of money that you made, you know, so... Yeah, I just want just thank Floyd for a great career. I'm glad to see you going out, you know, on top and not going out as one of my other favorite boxers that washed up was Roy Jones. No one could not tell me in the 90s how huge of a Roy Jones fan I was.
Y'all must have forgot.
To see him like get washed up throughout his career, man, was just heartbreaking. So I'm glad you're not going that route, Floyd, and I'm glad you going out on top. Your final fight was definitely a good fight. You know, just like how Kobe went out with 60, that was a great way to go out. I think you went out and the fans were entertained. No, you didn't hear people upset about the fight, your fights like they were with Berto and Pacquiao. So good job, Floyd. Well, got to give respect to the brother, man. So great career, great boxing career. And you going to go down as one of the greatest athletes of this, like Kyle said, of this era.
No doubt. What about you, FIFO? Your final thought.
I was going to talk a little bit about Floyd. I ain't going to go that in depth, but again, thank you, Floyd. I know you probably not ever going to hear this, but, you know, I definitely
he's listening.
I definitely appreciate all of the contributions to the sport of boxing. I think he's a boxer's boxer. He's a tactician. But what I want to talk about is how in the hell they going to leave us like that with Game of Thrones and then they going to come back all the way in damn 2019. What type of shit?
People are mad behind that, man. Hey,
I am. Yo, HBO, get your life together, man. I'm done.
And it's only going to be 6 episodes.
Wow.
They said an hour and a half each, though, or two.
Better be.
Yeah, it better damn be.
Yeah, I heard people were. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I heard people were mad as hell when they found out about that.
Well, you got 2 years to catch up.
I know, right? I just might do that. What's your final thought?
In 1968, Pete Rozelle instituted a new rule in the NFL requiring players to stand in line facing the flag with the helmet under one arm, hand over the heart during the anthem. This was after Tommy Smith and John Carlos protested the national anthem, did their protest at the Olympics. So this was the NFL's protest of their protest.
Mm-hmm.
There was a player that played for the St. Louis Cardinals football team who goes by the name of Dave Megacy. He did not follow that rule. Instead, he held his helmet in front of him and had with both of his hands and bowed his head, and they gave him hell for it. He was protesting against the war. He was an activist, and he was basically told by one of the coaches that if he wanted to play in the NFL, he needed to stop. He told them no. And in 1969, all of that happened in 1968. And then, of course, there was a protest. And in 1969, he was benched. And then he quit the NFL. And then he wrote a book called Out of Their League. I suggest everybody go read it. And you can understand how corrupt the NFL is. And also understand that I think for me, I came to the realization that if Colin won't play in the NFL anymore, Kyle, you were right. I was holding out hope. But Dave Megacy, for all of you out there that don't know this, he's a white player.
Wow.
And they banished him from the league.
Wow, I wasn't even familiar with that story, man. Where did drop jewels on him, Ken? I gotta check it out. Never heard that before. My closing thought, man. I would like to send a shout out to the Canadian Football League, in particular the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I'm pretty sure as long as we've been doing this podcast, we've never talked about Canadian football. But I want to give a shout out to this team, man. This team. For something that they did do. At first, they hired a coach. And then subsequently, after some backlash, they fired him before he could ever even set on a plane to come meet them. The coach in question was Art Briles, the exiled former head coach of the Baylor Bears. As many of you know, Baylor came under a lot of scrutiny under Briles's tenure there. Briles, you know, there was many lawsuits filed. Briles denied having any knowledge of a bunch of rapes that happened on campus from football players under his tenure. It's alleged that there were 52 acts of rape by 31 players that occurred at Baylor between 2001 and 2014. This was alleged in a lawsuit, and it said in the lawsuit, it also said that, you know, the program used sex to sell, you know, recruits on coming there. So I got to give them a shot. I think they made a mistake by even hiring him, but I got to give them a shout for them to correct their mistake and subsequently not give him this job. He has been out of work since 2016. I think it was May of 2016. Art Briles has no business. He definitely does not have any business being on a college campus. He doesn't have any business coaching. Now, you know, I know some may say, well, you know, he didn't go to jail or anything like that. He should have the opportunity to work. I'm fine with Art Briles working. I just don't want to see Art Briles coaching any level of men on any level because he doesn't deserve it. He blew his chance. And there's a whole bunch of women and young men whose lives have been negatively affected because of his lack of discretion, his lack of leadership. So he's going to have to sit on this one. And if he never gets another job coaching, I wouldn't shed a tear. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for checking out another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. We like to do this every week, so make sure that you come back and check us out. For B, for FIFO, for Ken, I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.